You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and I'm so excited to have some live guests in the studio with me today. Welcome Maggie Swanson and Sharon Kelly. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you both so much for being here. You're part of the Douglas July 4th Celebration Committee, here to talk about everything going on this weekend. But before we get into that, I just wanted to ask both of you, as residents here in Alaska in the United States, what does the 4th of July mean to you? Maggie, I'll let you go first.
It's a time when we can appreciate the freedom that we have, the ability to go out and do what we want, when we want, without having restrictions on any types of things. I mean, because of that, we're able to go and do and live the life that we have here. And I think that we're extremely fortunate to be able to do that.
Sharon, how about you?
I would just add that I think my love of country culminates on the 4th of July. And it's a day to celebrate our country and community, kids get together and share the love.
And even though we're on the radio and you can't see them, these two they've got their 4th of July flair all over the place. They're all decked out with beads and headbands and t-shirts in the red, white, and blue. And we've got some pictures of them and what they're wearing up on the website, ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon. So thanks for bringing the festive today. So how long have each of you been a part of the July 4th committee, and what makes you want to be involved year after year?
Gosh, I started being involved with the committee, I think, in the early 80s. I know it was 25 years ago, so it's been forever. And it's good. My first set of kids really enjoyed going down to the beach and doing the activities, and then I got involved with it, and now my grandkids do that. So.
And how about you, Maggie?
I've been on the committee for over 15 years, and I just thoroughly enjoy the festivities and watching the kids do it. And I used to participate in Douglas on the 4th of July when I was a little kid with the field races and things. And so it's just wonderful memories, and I just hope to make wonderful memories for all of the future, all the kids now and in the future. They just have a great time, and they get out and experience it.
Well, the kids have had it rough for a long time now. Last summer, I know lots of annual events were scaled down or canceled. Did your group do anything to mark the occasion?
Last year, we didn't. No. So, but we're really seeing a lot of excitement build for this year.
All right. Well, let's get into it. Please tell the good people all about what you've got planned for this weekend.
Okay. Well, let me start with this is the 122nd Douglas 4th of July event. So this has been going on for over 100 years. And for history, for those that don't know it, when the mines were running, and they were running both on Juneau and on Douglas, the miners got 2 days off a year. And that was Christmas and the 4th of July. So that's when they started setting the fireworks off at midnight on the 3rd, so they could enjoy them, then enjoy the 4th of July, and then go back to work on the 5th. So we still go with that time schedule, and I'll turn it over to Maggie to talk about the events.
Hey, thank you, Sharon. So we are focusing on families and kids and getting people out and enjoying life again. So we're going to start on Saturday, July 3rd, with bike decorating, bike, trike, wagons, wheelchairs, strollers, whatever kids have, anything at all. Come and join us at the Douglas Public Library down in the parking garage. We supply all of the goodies. We're trying to get kids geared up to be in the parade on Sunday, but if they don't want to, that's okay too. Just come and join us, have fun, get into the patriotic spirit. And then we also have the Douglas Library people have provided chalk, so the kids can be out in front decorating the sidewalks with their chalk.
Cool.
Which is a good way to get started. And then for the first time ever, we're going to have a soapbox car show. So all of you folks that have built your own cars and have cars that you want to show off before the races and before the trials, come up, bring your car up to the top of the hill there on St. Anne's, and line them up and show them off. It's going to be a great show.
Now, do the soapbox cars tend to stay together or look as good as they do at the end of the race?
Well, we do have a person with a toolkit to help things along the way so that maybe the sister or brother could use the same cart again.
And if I could interject something about soapbox, Derbies have been a long-time tradition. I lived on 12th Street in Juneau growing up in the 50s, and they would start at the top of 12th Street and race all the way down 12th Street. And then there wasn't any racing for a long time, and then we set it up in Douglas, and we've really had good reactions from the kids.
It sounds like so much fun.
It's a blast. So the registration and the trials start at 6 o'clock on the 3rd, right after the car show. And so come, and you do need to get registered, but come and practice and make sure that the car works really good and there won't be any issues for the races on the 4th, which happen right after the parade. So on the 4th, I just want to say a big thank you to First Student. They provide a shuttle between Juneau and Douglas every 30 minutes.
Such a good idea.
Isn't that wonderful? You don't have to worry about parking or walking if you can't walk all the way.
Maybe it'll reduce the traffic a little bit,
too. A little bit, yeah. So from 12 to 6, we have the buses leave from the Juneau Federal Building going to Zazac Gastineau Community School. At noon on the 4th, the Douglas Community United Methodist Church rings in the 4th of July, which is amazing. Our parade starts at 3. We start lining up at 2:30. Our grand marshals are Sandy and Suzanne Williams. Please check out our Facebook page and our website and check out their bios and see everything that they have done for the community. It's an amazing couple. We have vault prizes. The children's parade lines up at the North End parking lot at Gastineau School. Come and join us, everybody. We'd love to have you. Then as the parade goes down the hill, there's a 4th of July deep pit beef barbecue at the Douglas Community United Methodist Church. There's hot dog sales by the firefighters. And then as you continue on down the rest of the parade, as the parade disperses, all of the kids then move on down to the field events. And that starts at 4 o'clock. Any age from 2 to on up, we have 10-yard up to 20, 30, 40-yard races. We have sack races. We have three-legged races for kids and their parents. Then at 4 o'clock also is the soapbox races. So kids can head up the hill there and start racing their cars.
Well, what about the Sandcastle Challenge?
And that starts earlier, The tides are going to be working their way out, and you can, everybody, please come and pick your big place of sand. It's supposed to be nice. We did put in that request, and it seems so far to be on the schedule. That'll be nice, and so we've got some pictures from past sandcastles, and some people are build elaborate, wonderful things. So come and show us your artistic ability in the sand.
So it looks like 1 p.m. is registration, and low tide is about 4 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
High tide is 10 a.m. I love how all this information is right here, by the way. I don't know. I do not have the tide table memorized. So that's good to think about as you're planning your castle.
Exactly, and how much space you're going to need as it grows and the tide goes out. So then, again, the derby is at 4 o'clock. Then as the derby, as the soapbox derby, they finalize that and the kids' races kind of finish up. Then, and the sandcastle awards are done, then people start moseying back up the hill again. And you get to the Douglas Fire Station, and we have the make and break hose races, which are just a blast, and because it's supposed to be nice and hot, nobody minds getting sprayed with all the water, right?
Nope.
And so they have all their competitions there. And I want to say a thank you to Alaska Music One, because they're going to be providing music at the pavilion for the whole
live bands.
Live bands.
Wow,
yes.
So cool.
So isn't that great?
Yeah.
And they haven't been out playing in a long time either, so we're really looking forward to hearing live music outside and getting out and enjoying these things. We have Garden of Agony and Manic 3. They're going to be providing music for
That's
us.
That's great. Garden of Agony is a friend of the station. They've done lots of interviews with us and on our music stations with our DJs
nice.
There.
So
wonderful.
Yeah.
And then we have several food vendors lined up. Copa, Elotus Locus, the Filipino Community, Kettle Corn, and Nano's Grill. They'll be providing food down in the Sandy Beach area. And again, there'll be food on St. Anne's coming down. We have Face Paints by Sam. We'll be having little tattoos and sparkly things for the kids. And
there you have it. It's a wrap.
That's it.
Well, what are you two each looking forward to the most, or what's your favorite part?
I just love watching all of the kids their faces light up with the, from the parades all down to the little kids' races. Seeing those little two-year-olds run the 10-yard dash is so much fun, you know? And then just, you know, just watching them experience everything. It's just so nice to see the whole community out and having a good time and enjoying each other, seeing friends and family that you haven't seen for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you, Sharon?
Same. I love the parade. I love to go down and watch the little kids race and the families. And the kids get a dollar if they race, a silver dollar.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And then the winners get a little bit more. And so it's incentive, but they take it home. And, you know, it's something to remember. And then they have their pictures. They're taking pictures of them. And I think I have every year I have pictures of my kids growing up running in the races.
Right. And then in the parade, they do. The kids get a Susan B. Anthony silver dollar to participate and then prizes for first in different categories as well.
And we did one other thing, too, that we're really have been working on. It's really very hard to get volunteers.
Yeah.
We're a small committee. I
was just thinking this was so much to coordinate.
We're like Mighty Might, you know, the little committee that could. But we have partnered with two of the high school teams, and they will be running the events for the kids' races, and they're doing the soapbox race. And so they get a stipend for doing that, and we get their help, and they're learning about supporting their community. So it's kind of a win-win all the way around.
That's great. I'm so glad to hear you guys have some good help and support with this event.
And I do want to say thank you, too, to AML, Costco, and CCON, because they have been instrumental in helping with the soapbox derby as well. They're getting the tires and the track and the ramp and all those things squared away that we just can't take care of.
Well, shout out to them and to you both as well. So much work coordinating this, even with a good team of helpers. I know it's a lot. Where can we find out more information if we missed some of the details that you shared today?
As you drive into Douglas or you come into Douglas, there'll be volunteers handing out our program so they can get it when they come into Douglas. But it's also on our website at www.douglas4thofjuly.com.
Douglas4thofjuly.com should be easy enough to find, and all the info there. This little pamphlet is also very handy, so I recommend grabbing one of those if you want to know everything that's going to be happening this weekend and you don't want to miss a minute of it. What are you guys going to do after the weekend?
Breathe.
We'll start thinking about things we want to do next year.
We do a wrap up and say, okay.
All right. Well, stay rested, stay hydrated, keep cool, carry on. Thank you both so much for doing what you do, and thanks for being on the show today. Is there anything else you'd like to share before we say goodbye?
I would just like to say one thing. We just found out yesterday that the Civil Air Patrol will be providing a color guard for the parade, so we want to tell them thank you as well. And to just the whole community, like Sharon said, you know, we can't do this without everybody's participation and without everybody coming and joining it, too.
Or without great coordinators like yourselves. So thanks again for being here today, Sharon Kelly and Maggie Swanson, Douglas 4th of July Celebration Committee.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, welcome back to Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. The Douglas 4th of July barbecue is something everyone looks forward to. It's a tradition that's more than 40 years old. Not only is the food to die for, but it's also the Douglas Community United Methodist Church's major fundraiser of the year. So here with me via Zoom are Deborah Garish, co-chair, July 4th Barbecue. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, Shelley.
And Claudette Curtis is here as well. Claudette Curtis, longtime church member, 86 years old, who can personally attest to how great the barbecue is. Hello, Claudette. You are live on Juno Afternoon.
Hello.
Hi, thanks for being here with us today. Claudette, let's start with you. Just how good is the barbecue? What do you love about it?
Well, it started in 1977 when our pastor, Bob McNabb and his family, who were living in Hawaii, and they came to be our pastor, and they did it in Hawaii, and they started it here. He thought it would be a good idea. It's delicious. I remember the first one was set up on the sidewalk on the side of the church, and I don't remember all what the, I know I had the barbecue beef and some salads and stuff, but it's delicious. And every year I think that's proof, because every year for all the years that we've been doing it, people come in hordes to come and they look forward to it.
How many times do you think you've eaten it?
I've eaten it every time that they've had it. There's probably been a couple of times. Well, of course, they didn't have it last year. And then one year we had a moat around the church and there was flooding and we couldn't have it. But I think, Deborah, I think that's the only two times, right, that we haven't had it. I never missed it.
Deborah,
I remember that moat.
Yeah, so the weather doesn't always cooperate when we want to eat barbecue. Deborah, yeah, I know. Yes. Go ahead.
But I'm sorry. I know I don't mean to overtalk, but it's the Lord has blessed us 99% of the time with beautiful weather.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's about as good as you can hope for. Deborah, what would you add to Claudette's description of the barbecue? And is it a particular style? Does it have a name?
It's a deep pit barbecue. And what we do is the meat actually gets wrapped. And there's some pictures on your website. The meat gets wrapped in sheets and it's got garlic and pepper on it. And then we tie it together with hangers. You take the sheet and then you tie the hanger around it and you make a hook so you can pull it back out of the pit, you know, after it's cooked. And so my husband is a meat person. And so I'm always there until like about 20 minutes to midnight on the third. And you put the meat down into this pit. And then after the meat's down in there, you spray it a little bit with water. So you're creating this steam. It's actually cooking it all night long. Like we put it in and then we pull it out. The first roast comes out like about 45 minutes before we serve. And it's pretty cool.
Where does the meat come from?
The meat this year is actually coming from Super Bear.
Oh, well, they do
they
a good meat.
They give us a good price. They do good meat. And so it's special because it takes everybody working together to put it on. It's like a great time. Like you might not see people most of the time through the year because you're always so busy. You're passing in the night type of things. Yeah. But when we have the barbecue, it's all hands on deck. And it's like, oh, I'll work on the potato salad and I'll do beans and I'll do this and I'll do that. And so, but this year is a lot different because of COVID.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah. And that was actually going to be my next question, because I know people can be pretty serious about how they eat their barbecue, from the bun to the sauce to the sides to the toppings. So this year you've already worked that out. Can you tell us how it's going to be served?
We are going to have one somebody referred to as the meal deal, and it's going to be a barbecue sandwich. And we actually have meat that doesn't have the barbecue in case you don't like barbecue. So we've got that. You can pick your chips and your drink and off you go. And if you have a sweet tooth, like a lot of us do, we have some baked goods too that will be for sale.
And I feel like we may have skipped an important part there, which is the sauce. Who makes the sauce? What's it like? How do you, or where does it come from?
I don't know who's making the sauce this year. That was something that was handled. I took my PR part and went that way and went that way. And it all gets done. You just have to take little pieces and work on it.
Well, I, based on Claudette and everything that she described about the long history of outstanding barbecue, I'm not too worried about it. I'm sure I'm going to like it, whoever makes it or whatever kind of sauce it is. So the July 4th barbecue is a fundraiser for your church, Douglas Community United Methodist Church. What are some of the things that the proceeds support?
You want to talk about that, Claudette, or you want me to?
I'll do some and you can do some. Okay. It supports we have a food pantry that we've been running for many years now. People come by on Wednesday and Friday, and they can pick up a bag of food, and it supports our backpack program. Does it, Deborah? You can.
It, It does. And the backpack program is actually part of a program in Juneau called Feeding Juneau's Future. And the backpack program, what we do is we provide food for kids that are food insecure at home on weekends. So they pick it up on Friday and have it over the weekend. And then they'll be getting food again when they go back to school. As part of that program, we're currently doing a summer feeding program. And we actually make lunches and they're served 5 days a week up at, Claudette, help me with the name.
Up at Cedar Park.
Thank you. at Cedar Park. And so it goes to help with that also. And then, of course, like most churches, this has not been a normal time, though. We usually would have like a scout group and AA. And we also serve the community by giving them a place, a venue to have certain things that happen, like the Christmas tree lighting. The Christmas tree lighting is a big part of Douglas's life, and the men in our church have for years have been serving cookies and hot chocolate and cider after the Christmas tree lighting and welcoming the community. And there's been the times when we've had musicals too from the community. So,
well, and imagine all those events and this event as well are all volunteer run. So what are some of the ways that people can help support the barbecue?
They can help support the barbecue by either coming and eating. It's $15 for the chips and the barbecue and the drink. It's $2 for drinks this year. And another way is if they want to help donate towards the cost of putting the barbecue on, they could do that also. They can write a donation and it should say like barbecue supplies on it, so we know that where the money will go. That's another way of doing it. And don't be frightened. We're going to be doing everything. We've got 6 foot long tables and we've got a person at either end of both tables. And so you'll have your 6 foot for the people and it'll go that way. You'll meet a cashier at the very beginning. They'll take your money and then they'll pass you on down the line.
Oh, it sounds like you've got all those COVID conscious details worked out. I asked my last guest this and I wanted to ask you both as well. What does the 4th of July mean to you? And what is important about being a part of this event year after year? Claudette, let's hear from you first.
Well, the thing that I love about this is seeing all the people, because some of these people I don't see that often, and everybody is so happy, and everybody seems to be having a great time, and they sit on our lawn, and they're not this year, but they can come in the church and use our facilities and stuff. And it's just seeing everybody come and have a good time. And no matter what, they seem to have a big smile on their faces. And I love seeing them come. I love to see the people.
Thanks, Claudette. How about you, Deborah?
And tagging on to what you just said, part of the great fun of it is that I've been doing it for about 40 years now, and you get to see the parents that come and bring the children, and then you see the children grow up and they bring their children. And I've been around long enough that some of those children are starting to bring their children. And it's just a lot of fun. And the neat thing about for the people within the church that are putting on the barbecue is you have this really tight community that's working for a goal. And you also get time, like Claudette says, you get time to talk to people that maybe you just couldn't sit down and spend a couple of hours talking with them. And as you're peeling potatoes for potato salad, it's a great chance.
Well said, both of you. Thank you so much for being my guests today. The 4th of July Deep Pit Barbecue starts at 11:30 a.m. on Sunday, July 4th. It's at the Douglas Community United Methodist Church at 3rd and E Street over on the island. Really appreciate you both being here today to share all the delicious details of the meal that we hope we'll be sharing together this weekend. So thank you both very much.
Thank you, Shelley.
Take care. Have a great afternoon. You're welcome.
Thank you a lot.
And you're listening to Juneau Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. My next guest is Ed Mercer, Chief of Police for the Juneau Police Department. Hello, Chief Mercer. It's good to have you here today.
Yeah, Shelley, good to have be back on again. Time goes by pretty fast.
And we're actually having you on a little ahead of schedule because of all that's happening this weekend. We know that you want to talk to our audience about how to be safe. So let's dive right in. Would you like to start with July 4th operations and what you guys are watching out for?
Sure. So, you know, the 4th of July operations is actually one of our biggest details for the Juneau Police Department. We stand up parade detail in two different locations, the downtown Juneau Parade and also the Douglas Parade. So it's all hands on deck when it comes to the Juneau Police Department, whether it be the uniform services or dispatch and the whole nine yards. So we're going to be out there in numbers. We'll be out there also on the third evening of the third for the firework display. So once again, I think we're kind of moving back to some normalcy compared to last year where we didn't have a parade. And a lot of the community was concerned about that. So we're expecting that there are going to be a lot of people out there doing things. And we just want to assure the public that we're going to be out there as well, trying to keep people safe. And they see us out there. I mean, we'll be out there doing our standard other enforcement for speeding, also for DWIs. So we'll be out there looking, and hopefully people will get through this holiday weekend safe and going home to their place opposed to going somewhere else.
Nice way of putting it. And so we have the big fireworks display that's officially happening. That's going to be happening downtown. They'll be set off from the channel whenever it gets dark, and if there's weather issues when that clears up. So everybody pretty much knows how that goes. What about people like letting off fireworks on their own personal property? There's some new ordinances in place, so maybe we should go over those.
Yeah, so, you know, the City Assembly passed ordinance, and we now officially have a fireworks ordinance. And that really outlines where you can and cannot be shooting off two different types of fireworks, one being concussive, you know, those loud boom displays and mortars and those types of things. And then also the non-concussive, which is allowed year-round. So we really didn't change, like, on the two specific holidays, the 4th of July and New Year's holidays, as far as that goes. We allow certain types of fireworks to be shot off on private property between, I believe, if I could quickly look at my display that I have, you know, on the July 3rd, it starts at 10 a.m. to midnight, and then on July 4th, it's midnight to 1 a.m. So the city felt it was necessary to allow some forms of fireworks for people to celebrate, you know, the holiday. And we're staying in line with that as far as it goes. But we will specifically be looking for people who are violating the ordinance and shooting off those concussive type of fireworks that make a very loud boom. You probably felt them if you live out in the valley, or I've heard in Douglas area as far as it goes. We will be responsive, and we will be investigating those types of calls coming into us. So I recognize this is something fairly new for the community, but it's something that obviously was important enough for our city assembly to vote on and pass ordinance for us to go out there and have this enforcement. So, you know, it starts off as a $250 fine. And if you're you have repeat offenses, it can go up to $500 to a mandatory court appearance. So there's varying different degrees of penalty on it. We also want to inform the public that although this is something that can be a nuisance, we ask the public for voluntary compliance and really try to enjoy and respect their neighbors as far as that goes. We could get inundated at the police department with these type of calls. Well, a lot of other things are going on in the community where we have to prioritize those calls for service. So we just ask the public to be respectful of that. We'll be responsive as fast as we possibly can, depending on what's going on out there. And one thing I would pass on to the public is please do not call the 911 if it's a firework issue. Call our main line at, you know, 586-0600 and report it in that manner, because, you know, there might be an emergency going on in the community, and we don't want to be locking up our 911 lines to something that may be a nuisance or a violation of the fireworks ordinance.
Before we move on to topics that are not related to the holiday, it sounds like you're going to be all business this weekend. Your whole department is going to be working, all hands on deck. Does the 4th of July have any special meaning for you? Do you find a way to celebrate it, or is it for you just the mission is to keep everybody safe?
I think it's really we know there's going to be a lot of people out trying to enjoy it. And, you know, we want to stay out of people's business and want people just to enjoy themselves as long as they're not, you know, doing something that they shouldn't be doing out there. So I think as the police in general, it's one of these holidays we try to get through and enjoy it afterwards. But for the time being, you're absolutely right. It's pretty much all business. You know, we want the safety of the public to be so that we don't have nothing in the newspaper the following week as far as anything going on and somebody get hurt or somebody getting arrested. We really want people to have a good time, but do it respectfully and follow the laws and do those type of things. So I would say in my 20 some plus years, I've always just wanted to get through the 4th of July. It's just you're dealing with a lot of people in varying stages, whether it be overconsumption of alcohol to just people trying to have fun and stuff like that. And after it's all said and done, we kind of sit back and then we could enjoy our time with our families and stuff like that.
Hmm. Well, thanks for answering that one, Chief Mercer. So moving on to topics not directly related to the holiday weekend, bear nuisances, it's that time of year, they're out and about. I saw one right on my front porch in the middle of the day on a Saturday last weekend. So they're coming around.
Yeah, our four-legged friends are out there. And but last several years, you know, some people have varying opinion on more activity and whatnot. And years ago, I could tell you when I was working the swing shift, a good portion of our calls were bear calls. And then the city enacted the ordinance for pickup for garbage and keeping it secured until the day of pickup. So what we have done and what we continue to do early, usually in the latter part of spring, we go out with our community service unit and they try to give out warnings to people that may be putting their garbage out too early before 4 a.m. on the day of pickup. So we just try to educate the people and try to get volunteer compliance. Our furry friends are not going to go away. Unfortunately, once they're invited, they always want to come back. So certainly bear nuisance is a problem in our community. And the more we could do as a community to try to prevent from having to harm one of those bears because they become a nuisance. And then also, we don't want the bears interacting and running around with our children in the neighborhoods. And sometimes we get those type of complaints as far as it goes.
Hmm. So, I hope that everyone listening is just, we'll just do everything they can to make your job a little bit easier and to keep our neighborhoods safe from bears. I know that nobody wants to see anything bad happen to people or bears most of the time.
So. Yeah.
Thanks for the reminders on that. And then the at-risk community program, we just have a little bit of time left. You want to touch on that?
Sure. I'll just touch on that. We started this program several months ago, earlier in the year, at-risk community program, because we felt, time is of essence when somebody is a loved one's missing or a friend's missing and whatnot. And this is more directed towards an individual that may need special assistance. They may suffer from autism. They may be elderly that wander away from their home. And we offer this program for the community, for loved ones or friends, that they could complete information, a packet that we have here, so that in the event they call the police, we have enough information that we could dispatch our police officers on and act right away. For example, maybe they tend to frequent some particular area. Maybe they walk in a certain area. Maybe they like hanging out in a certain area. Or maybe there's a style of communication that works better in the event we have contact with them. Those types of things that we ask during a questionnaire on a form that the public could go fill out. They could go to our website and get the form and submit it to us and kind of go along that long up. I've worked several cases on search and rescue where we had a young adult who suffered from autism that wandered up a trail and was gone for 36 hours before somebody found him. So, and we were trying to gather as much information from family exactly what they have and how this person, maybe where they go and how they like being interacted with.
That sounds like it could be really helpful to just have that information right off the bat.
Yeah, and once we started this up, I think we automatically got 5 or 6 applications. So we do have, people are using it, and we just encourage and let the public know that this is out there, and we're more than willing to, take that information and be ready in the event somebody comes up missing in their family.
Well, I'm happy we can help you get the word out on that here on Juno Afternoon. And the last thing we wanted to talk about today was the flooding of the Taku River. There's some alerts out on the National Weather Service website, and we heard a little bit about it on the morning news today here on KTOO. You and I talked a little bit about this before the interview. It's not in a residential area, but lots of people in Juneau have property out there that could possibly be affected, and it's in your jurisdiction. You told me that. I didn't know that. So what would you like folks to know about this flooding event?
Well, I think the Weather Service has provided announcements and letting people know not only just the flooding and the dangers of flooding, but it's a popular area in the summertime for Juneauites to go up the river, and there's going to be debris coming down the river that could be dangerous and whatnot. So just be mindful of all this type of thing, especially over the weekend. A lot of people want to get away from Juneau. I assume they go up to their properties up in the Taku River. And with this all going on, aside from worrying about your property, you got to worry about your well-being. And it's just pretty much common sense of, advisements there as far as it goes. So, and you're absolutely right. Jurisdictionally, it is in our area. And on occasion, we have to go up there for something that is reported, and it's rare, but we do occasionally do that.
All right. Well, thanks for the info on that and everything else, Chief Mercer. I hope you do get through this 4th of July holiday with minimum stress.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. And I really appreciate you guys having us on the show early so we can talk about these things. And again, we're excited that we're moving on and this year we're able to celebrate our 4th of July. So, I'm just hopeful that everything goes well.
Me as well. Well, I hope everybody's COVID conscious in the crowds and all of that. And thanks again so much for your time today, Chief Mercer. Have a good one.
Thanks, Shelley.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I am your host, Shelley Delaney, and my last guest today is Nancy DeCherney, Executive Director for the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. Hi, Nancy.
Hey, Shelley. How are you?
Good, good. Well, there's lots to do this holiday weekend, and it's First Friday. We did cover most of the events happening over on the island for the July 4th celebration, but I bet you have plenty more to tell us about what we can find to do downtown and all around.
Well, there is First Friday, so we'll start there. And there are a few virtual ones and a few in-person ones. So the Arts and Humanities Council is very excited. We have a display of weavers. Della Cheney, Patty Fiorella, and Sonia Ibarra are sharing some of their weaving projects. This one is a virtual one, so you have the whole month to look at it, but it's beautiful. They weave bark, grass, maidenhair fern, furs. They go out and they harvest it all and they process it. So it's really cool and very exciting to look at what they do with our natural environment. And so check that out. You get to that by going to jahc.org, and you can find the guide to all of this. Remember, we used to make those little books. Mm-hmm. We don't do those anymore, but you can go onto our website and there's a little thing that has everything that's going on. So check that out. The Alaska State Museum has a virtual tour of their exhibit, The Spirit Wraps Around You, with Steve Henriksen. They're having this exhibit all the way through October, but it is just phenomenal. If you haven't been to see it, and you can go live to see it, they're only, the virtual tour is from 4:30 to 5:30. They won't be open for extended hours on First Friday, but they do have regular hours Wednesday through Sunday from 9 to 5. So you can stop in there. It's Chilkat blankets, raven's tail weaving. It's just really a fascinating exhibit. And they've been adding to it with little talks and presentations by weavers. So take time, put that on your schedule of things to do this summer.
Yeah,
and it's right next door to you, Shelley. So you can go for lunchtime.
Well, maybe I will.
The first Friday at the City Museum is it's free from 4 to 6:30. They're doing free state capitol tours. There's a lot of artwork in the city, in the state capitol, and they're doing tours of them. They each tour is about 45 to 60 minutes. They begin at 4:30, 5 and 5:30, but you need to sign up. There's 5 floors in the capitol and there's lots to see. So stop it, take time to do that exhibit at some point.
Maybe have time to go over one more thing.
Okay, let's see, there's a book signing down at the Marine View. The 8th is the Kathy Ruddy Memorial. The 10th, we have a fresh air market. We have a concert on the 24th and a cruise on the 25th. So there's plenty of
Nancy, thank you. Thank you so much for getting all that in there. I know it wasn't easy and it was a short amount of time, a lot in a little amount of time, but I really appreciate it. And just thanks for all you do to keep us busy with lots of incredible arts events to check out all the time.
Well, thank you. We'll talk to you next month.
Sounds good. Take care. Have a great afternoon.